ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तमेरजो भुव यजानतस्त्वापृतगीषमानिना आजावले पन्दतमुण्डचक्षुषा एषो नुकम्प्यो मयिनाथ वाङ्मिति.
Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and if therefore I am simply foolish, presuming myself a controller, independent of your lordship, my eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please, consider that I am your servant, and therefore worthy of your compassion.
Report by the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
In his commentary,
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Brahma wanted to present the following argument to the Lord. My dear Lord, because I have acted so badly, I certainly deserve to be punished. On the other hand, because I am so ignorant, you should consider me an innocent fool and be merciful to me. Thus, although I deserve both punishment and forgiveness, I humbly beg you to exercise intolerance in this matter and simply forgive me and show me your mercy. The words Natavan iti indicate that Lord Brahma wanted to humbly remind Lord Krishna that he was, after all, Brahma's father and master, and should therefore forgive the unfortunate transgressions of his humble servant. Every conditioned soul, whether he be Lord Brahma or an insignificant ant, falsely identifies himself with the material world, and in this way forgets his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma, because of his prestigious position as the cosmic creator, also tends to identify himself as the Lord of this world. And thus, he sometimes forgets his position as an insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord. Now, by Lord Krishna's mercy, this false identification is being rectified, and Lord Brahma is remembering his constitutional position as the eternal servant of God. Atha shama swachutya me rajo bhuvo yajantastvat prithag isha manina ajavalapenda thamonda chakshusha esho nukampyo mayinatavan iti.
Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion and am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your eternal servant, therefore worthy of your compassion.
Lord Brahma, as has been explained, is the supreme most person in this entire universal creation. He is, in fact, the father of all species of life within this universe. With his four heads, he is witnessing all things at all times that is taking place in this entire universe. And, of course, we know that he remains in his youthful, healthy condition for trillions upon trillions of years. And he lives in the highest planet, which is utterly free of all fear. We have read about how great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, oftentimes they conquer the universe, but not a one has even attempted to even challenge Brahmaloka. So Lord Brahma is endowed with utter fearlessness, complete security, the greatest wealth, beauty. His consort is none other than the goddess of wisdom, Saraswati. He has big, beautiful family. Everything possible that a person can want in this world, Brahma has incomparably. And not only that, but he has the greatest possible wisdom. All the Vedas are ultimately coming from him. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhakavye Muyanti Yatsurya. He is Guru, our own Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is the original spiritual master. Spiritually, materially, he is in the highest position of anyone in this universe. No one can compare to him. But yet, Lord Brahma is here confessing in the presence of Lord Sri Krishna that like a firefly in the darkness of the night appears to be giving light and becomes very proud. I am like that. But it's in the presence of the sun, of your divine presence, I realize that all of my power is utterly insignificant. It has no meaning. It's not even, you cannot even notice it. You see, even though Lord Brahma is in such an exalted position, he is a Paramahamsa, still, for the sake of instructing all of us by the power of Yoga Maya, Krishna sometimes personally puts Brahma in illusion. Just to show that we think we are so great, well, look at even Brahma is nothing compared to me. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that one time the four-headed Lord Brahma of our particular universe, he decided he wanted to see Lord Narayan. So he was standing at the gates of Vaikuntha, and they said, the guards, they stopped him, and he said, they said, who is it calling? He said, why you are stopping me? You don't know who I am. I am the four-headed Brahma, the creator of the universe. So the guards went in and told Lord Narayan that the four-headed Brahma, creator of the universe, he's come to see you. Narayan said, which Brahma? Go ask him which Brahma he's talking about. Lord Brahma, what does he mean, which Brahma? How many Brahmas are there? I'm the only Brahma. The four-headed Brahma who created everything for you. So he was kept waiting for quite a while. While he was waiting, Lord Narayan was thinking, he's asking which Brahma? I'll show him which Brahma. So he decided to call all the other Brahmas of all the other universes within the creation.
And of course, you know, according to the size of the universe, there are that many directions, and according to that many directions, there are that many heads on Lord Brahma. So then finally, Lord Brahma was brought in, and when he saw who was in the room with Lord Narayan, there was Lord Brahma's with 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 10,000 heads. There were Brahmas with millions of heads. And this little Brahma only had 4. He considered himself to be like an insect in a herd of elephants. And then Lord Narayan, he asked all the Brahmas, "So how is everything going in your universes?" And all the billions of heads all said, "Very nice, very nice." And then he said, "All right, now you go." And little four-headed Brahma was left. And he realized that who am I compared to this Narayan? As Mahavishnu, all the universes are coming out of his pores like little bubbles. One of his exhalations is the time of the entire cosmic manifestation. And on his inhalation, everything is destroyed. So here, Lord Brahma, he is feeling very happy. He is feeling very happy to see how great is his Lord, Sri Krishna. And yet this supremely powerful Mahavishnu, the absolute creator of everything that exists, he is appearing as just a small little cowherd boy looking for his friends, worrying that if I do not get my friends home on time, their mothers and fathers will become worried. This is the supreme absolute truth. This is the personality of Godhead. And Lord Brahma, putting his 4 heads on the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, is here begging forgiveness. This is the quality of a real Vaishnava. You see, a materialistic person, due to ego, false pride, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, wants to take all credit for what he does, but wants to give everyone else the blame for whatever he makes mistakes on. And there was a devotee who came to our Guru Maharaj. And he said, "Gurudev, I'm always getting blamed for things that I never do. Sometimes I do everything just the way you want it, and everyone blames me for things that other people have done wrong. If Krishna is the supreme knower of everything, why he always treats me like this?" And he said, "Because in previous life, you took credit for what you did not do. So in this life, your reaction is you have to get blamed for what you do not do." But it is true. We love to be glorified. We love to take credit. Just like our Panditji Maharaj last night in his lecture, he was describing, his name was, I believe, Nahusha. Huh? He was explaining how he did many, many pious things. So many pious things. And he wanted, by his power, to take the wife of Indra, Sachi. So they were thinking how to diminish of his power. So they asked him about himself. And he started telling all of his wonderful accomplishments. He started explaining so many wonderful things that he had done. But this is something to take in mind. When you do something good, if you tell someone else about it, you lose all the credit for it. You lose all the piety and you will lose all the spiritual credits. If you remain silent, it remains with you. But as soon as you start bragging what you have done, all the credit's gone. For what? For a little recognition. And actually, when you try to tell nice things about yourself, you're expecting people are going to appreciate you. They're going to love you for what you have done. But it's just the opposite. When you brag, when you boast, people will externally, superficially, they will think, oh, you are so great, you are so nice, you are wonderful, you are advanced. They say that with their mouths. But in their hearts, if they're materialistic people, they will be envious of you and hate you for it, and be plotting in their mind how to tear you down to the bottom so they can be on top. Materialistic people cannot tolerate anybody doing anything better than them. And although externally they say, oh, you are very good, in their heart they hate you. They want to destroy you. They envy you. And spiritually minded people, they only admire one quality. Trinarapi sunichana tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you are humble, they think, oh, this person, he is very great, he is humble, he takes no credit for anything he does, and although he's doing so many wonderful things, I love him, I want to serve him. But when we start boasting about what we have done or who we are, to a spiritual person, he pities you. He sympathizes with you. He thinks, this poor person, whatever he's done, it's all spoiled by his pride. There is a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, he came to a place called Kurmakshetra. This is in Andhra Pradesh. And there, he stayed at the house of one Brahmin, who was known as the Kurma Brahmin. Actually, it's known as Kurmakshetra because Sri Radha Gopinath, it is described that Ramanujacharya, one time he was living in Jagannath Puri, and the pujaris of the Jagannath temple, they were worshipping the deity in a way that was not exactly according to the principles. So Ramanujacharya, in his mind, was thinking critically of them. So Lord Jagannath, personally, while he was sleeping, he had a dream that Lord Jagannath personally picked him up with his own lotus hands and said, why you are disturbing my pujaris with your mind? And he threw him. And in the dream, Ramanujacharya went flying, and he landed at this place called Kurmakshetra. And there was a deity, and people thought that it was a deity of Lord Shiva. They thought it was a Shiva Linga. But actually it was a murti of Kurmadev, the avatar of Sri Vishnu. So Ramanujacharya, this was revealed to him, and he began to worship him there. So this is a very holy place to this day. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting this holy place, he was staying at the house of one Brahmin. And he stayed there for some days. And then he went to leave. Because he was traveling, he was a sannyasi. He never stayed any place for very long. So as he was leaving, this Brahmin followed behind him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, where are you going? He said, I am going with you. He said, but you have a wife, you have children, you have job, you have all these things. And the Brahmin said, all of these things are simply causing pain to my heart. They are simply causing bondage and anxiety. I have no interest in my wife. I have no interest in my children. I have no interest in my land, in my home. I have no interest in my occupation. I only have one interest, to just follow behind your lotus feet as your humble servant, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, No. There is no need to leave your family. There is no need to leave your occupation. You go back home, you take care of your responsibilities, but you follow this one instruction. Yare deka thari kaha Krishna upadesh maragoi guru hoy thari desh. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. Always remember Krishna. And whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. In this way, be guru for all the land, and your life will be perfect. So the Kurma Brahman, with tears in his eyes, he went back to his home. Now, meanwhile, some distance away, there was a very, very great devotee. His name was Vasudev. Vasudev was inflicted with a very, very severe, painful case of leprosy. It was so bad that there was just oozing pus and blood coming from every part of his body. And because of this, it smelled so terrible that no one can go near him. And it was so incredibly painful. His skin was so rotten that there was millions upon millions upon millions of worms eating his skin away everywhere. But this Vasudev, he never complained. He was always thinking, Tatena kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhagam hridvagvapurvir vidadam namaste jivetya mukti padesadayava. My dear Lord, you are so merciful to me. You are so kind. You are allowing me to serve all these worms by offering my body to be their home, to be their food. And whatever pain is coming, I am so sinful, I deserve millions of times more punishment, but you're just giving me a little. But in this position, I have nothing to be proud of. Nobody likes me. Everyone thinks I smell terrible. I'm ugly. I'm banished from society. I have nothing to be proud of. So in this condition, how easy it is for me to call out your holy name. And it is explained that when even a single worm would fall from his body onto the ground, Vasudev would very carefully, with love and devotion, pick it up and place it from where it fell from, thinking that this body is as much my home as it is this worm's home. My soul is living in this body, and this worm's soul is living in this body, so let us all live together peacefully. This was his devotion. Anyways, he heard that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was nearby in Kuramakshetra. So, you know, it was very difficult for him to walk. But somehow or other, he struggled and he strained with great, great pain to walk a long distance. And when he finally came to Kuramakshetra, he came to the house of the Kurma Brahman with the great expectation that the perfection of his life to actually behold the Supreme Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu before his own eyes. But when he arrived, he heard the sad news that Sriman Mahaprabhu Chaitanya had already left. And this was like the most painful thunderbolt to his soft heart. He began to cry, how sinful I am. But it is explained, Sarvasya cha ham hridi shani vishto matasmitir jnanam abohanam cha vidaista sarvairam eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vedeva cha ham.
Lord Sri Krishna is within everyone's heart. He knows everything. He knows all of our thoughts.
So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could understand that his devotee was waiting. So just for his devotee, he turned around and came back to Kuramakshetra.
And when Vasudev saw the beautiful golden form of Gaurasundara, he was so much enraptured in ecstatic love that he fell to offer his dandavat, prostrated obeisances.
And he began to offer prayers of great humility. I am so sinful. I am so fallen. Look at my condition. But you are Patita Pavanavatar. Your mercy is so causeless that it does not discriminate.
I am your eternal servant. Please accept me.
At that time, Lord Chaitanya, seeing the great humility of Vasudeva, he came to embrace him with his beautiful long golden arms. And Vasudeva, no, my Lord, please do not touch me. I am such a contaminated person. Please do not go near me. But Lord Gaurasundara forcibly took him and embraced him. And when he embraced him, all of his leprosy disappeared. And his body became perfectly fit, perfectly healthy. And he assumed a golden complexion that was effulgent, like that of a demigod.
And Vasudev, look at this new form. The type of body everyone longs to have in this world. And he began to cry. Not in happiness, in anxiety. He was in too much distress. And with folded hands and tears of love in his eyes, he began to speak to Lord Gauranga.
He said, my dear Lord, please, when I was a leper, I had nothing to be proud of. But now, I am going to become world famous. Vasudeva Amrita Prada. I will be known as the Vasudev who has received the special nectarine mercy of Sri Chaitanya. People all over the world will know that you have performed this miracle just for me. And now I'm beautiful. And I'm healthy and I'm strong. How is it possible for me to be in this situation and not fall victim to false pride? Because, my Lord, I know that I am your eternal servant. And any service we perform, if it is even tinged with a drop of pride, that service has no pleasure to you. Krishna is not concerned with how we appear or what we do. He is concerned with the humility of how we offer our service. Therefore, my Lord, I am very frightened. How could I, in this position, remain humble like a blade of grass, expecting no respect for oneself and offering all respect to others? Please tell me. Because without this humility, nothing I do will give you any pleasure. And my life is only for your pleasure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded, Yare de katare kaha Krishna upadesh, amaragwai guru hai tare desh. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. Always be the servant of the Vaishnavas. And whoever you meet, tell them about the glories of Sri Krishna. If you always follow this instruction, you will never fall victim to pride. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left that place, and the Kurma Brahman and Vasudev simply embraced one another, discussing the infinite mercy of the Lord. So we know this, that the great devotees of the Lord, this is their only fear. They fear that if somehow or other pride enters into their heart, all of their service is ruined. So here Lord Brahma, he is begging forgiveness for the offense that he has committed. Due to pride, look at what I have done. He says, I have taken birth in the mode of passion. Devotees, although Lord Brahma was born from the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he is Atmabhu, Swayambhu. Devotees only like to see the bad about themselves. They don't like to think about the good part. He doesn't think, I am born of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. No one else is like me. He is thinking, I'm born in the mode of passion. Although Lord Brahma, he knows everything going on in this universe, and he is the original father of all the Vedas, all knowledge. He is saying, therefore I am simply foolish. He doesn't see the good in himself. He only sees the bad. I am foolish. Presuming myself a controller and independent of your lordship. Although he has his eight eyes that are seeing everywhere, everything, he is saying, my eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant, therefore worthy of your compassion. In other words, he is considering that he has no qualification. No material qualification can give one entrance into the mercy of Krishna. Brahma is here giving this realization that although he has the supreme material qualifications of anyone, he is explaining here that no amount of material qualification can in any way impress Krishna. Because whatever qualifications we have are only the gifts of him. When we go to the Ganges, we take water from the Ganges, and we offer with devotion to Mother Ganges. Does she need this water? There's billions and billions and trillions of gallons of water that she's providing, and we're taking one palmful and saying, oh, I am so wonderful that by my mercy I am giving you this water. Huh? Is she impressed? She doesn't need our water. But if you offer it with love and a humble heart, she accepts it with great pleasure. So similarly, everything we have is coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandataha. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything is coming from me. Does Krishna need our money? Does Krishna need our nice singing? Does Krishna need our nice speaking? Does Krishna need our ability to paint or our ability to decorate him? What does he need? He is giving us the power. He is giving us the brain. He is giving us the hands. He is giving us everything. Lord Brahma is explaining that I am begging for your compassion, and I only have one qualification, that I am your servant. Please know, this is my only qualification, that I am your servant. So please be merciful to me. Queen Kunti has prayed in the Bhagavatam, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Eda Manamada Puman, that the four greatest material qualifications are the four greatest spiritual disqualifications. High birth, wealth, high education, and physical beauty. Every materialistic person is dedicating his entire life or her entire life to acquiring these opulences. Huh? In America, the country I am from, people spend billions of dollars a year just for cosmetics to make themselves look beautiful. To try to hide the fact that they are growing old. And people are working like mudhas, like asses, foaming at the mouth day and night for some money, some wealth, so that they can have a nice house and say, look at where I am living, look at the car I am driving, look at who I am, look at what I have done. And people go to elementary school, and then to high school, and then to college, and then to postgraduate college. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that people, they are just slaving like asses, reading their books and reading their books and reading their books. Why? So that they can have a PhD. So they can have some distinction that I am a pundit, I am a scholar, I am very educated. Ah, so much time, so much energy. And if someone is coming from a high birth, everyone else should look up to me. Huh? Prestige. Every materialist is struggling for these qualifications. And Queen Kunti says, Jain Marshwaraya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madapuma Naivarhatya Vidatansa Twam Akinchana Gocharam. That all of these qualifications are the greatest disqualifications for one who wants to attain your lotus feet, Lord Hari. Why? Because they make one proud. And when one is proud, one cannot call out with helpless devotion, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And it is only this humble, helpless crying of your holy name that attracts your mercy. Swam akinchana gocharam. Therefore, Krishna is the property of the impoverished. But this doesn't mean physical poverty. It means poverty of the heart. Lord Brahma is factually in this category of akinchana gocharam. Although he's the wealthiest person in all the universe, in his heart, he is feeling that nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. Everything is Krishna's. Whatever knowledge I have, whatever wealth I have, whatever birth I have, whatever power I have, whatever beauty I have, it is all by the grace of Krishna. Therefore, if you feel everything belongs to Krishna, Janasya Mohoya Mahamma Meti, nothing is mine. Then you are in complete poverty. The greatest poverty is to have nothing. If anything is mine, then I'm thinking I'm a rich man. But if everything belongs to God, that means I have nothing. That means I am in poverty. Akinchana gocharam means somebody who realizes that everything belongs to Krishna, nothing is mine. I am your servant. You can be the king, Brahma, or you can be a beggar in the street. And you can be equally akinchana gocharam if you just have this consciousness. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was banished to the forest for 14 years, he had nothing. And after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was made the emperor of all of the planet Earth. But there was absolutely no difference in his consciousness when he was living in the jungles of Kamyavan and when he was living in the palace of Hastinapur. In fact, he was probably happier living in Kamyavan. But there was no difference in his consciousness. Because he recognized that everything is the property of Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam shantim richchati. That one who understands that Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything, all the universes and all the planets within the universes, and that everything is meant for his enjoyment, nothing is meant for our enjoyment. And with faith, we trust that he is our true friend. One who simply understands these three principles attains supreme peace and everlasting love. Lord Brahma, after witnessing the beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna, and after recognizing the exalted position of the Brijbasis, that here I am Lord Brahma, I am committing so many offenses, but these simple cowherd girls, gopis and gopas, they are not in any big, big position like me. But they are intimately playing with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, reciprocating love throughout the day, throughout the night. They are the most exalted. They are the supreme living beings in all of my creation, even greater than their own creator. Therefore, He desired to have the dust of the feet of all of these great Brijbasis upon the top of his head. And he appeared, his four heads, as the four mountains of Barasana. He enjoys this position millions of times more than he enjoys being the creator living in Brahmaloka. Because Sri Radharani, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the dust of their feet is always upon his head. This is his greatest ecstasy. This is his greatest joy. This is the perfection of all of his desires. So we are so fortunate that those same persons who Lord Brahma is aspiring to get the dust from the feet of their head, those same persons, the Barsanavalis, they have come to our temple to place those same dusty feet upon our heads. So we are very grateful to all of you for coming. We are in Brahma Sampradaya. Please understand that we are coming from the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. Therefore, we must follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, who is our Paramparam Guru. And he is aspiring to get the dust of the feet on his head of the residents of Barasana. So you should also allow us to have the dust from your feet upon our heads. It is our sampradaya to receive it. Is there any questions? Yes.
Since you are saying that it's a fact that none of the material qualifications attracts the heart of Krishna. We might be having all sorts of education or a good wealth or anything, it is not going to attract the heart of Krishna. Now on one side, if the spiritual master gives you an instruction to have some prosperity into material activities, and you go for some profession or something, whatever on the instruction of the spiritual master, and you do that profession. Now, actually in our heart, whatever we might be doing, that the brightness is not going out altogether. On a gross level we might be thinking that, okay, I'm just suppressing it. But on a subtle level, that pride is not at all going. Because we are doing the sadhana, but it is not going altogether. On the other hand, we are going to do that profession, and in that profession, should we go for an expansion, diversification or this or that? And if we do it and if we get some success also, as such we are not at all to suppress our pride. The pride is unnecessarily getting increased, unnecessarily. And we are having more problems whatever we were having it before. So should we go on with whatever we are doing it without doing anything more and try to concentrate only on the spiritual life and whatever the spare time we have, that is the only time we do it for our profession? Or should we go in a wholehearted way even in profession also?
Rivo. We should not wholeheartedly put our energy into our profession. We should wholeheartedly put our energy into our seva. If our profession is our seva, our consciousness should be that it is for Krishna. The fruits of our work should be offered in devotion to Krishna. But what you are saying is very true, that even when we offer the fruits of our work to Krishna, we think, just see how much I have offered to Krishna. Let the world see that I have done this for Krishna. Huh? Pride is the most subtle, tricky obstacle to overcome in our spiritual progress. Even if a person gives up his family and becomes perfectly celibate, gives up all wealth, fasts and only drinks a little water every day, and chants the holy names 3 lakhs of times every day, overcomes everything. The tendency is to think, just see, I am very advanced. I am more advanced than you. Everything is spoiled. Recently, some devotees, they were doing the Nirjali Kadasi. I told them, this is very good doing Nirjali Kadasi. But if you look at other devotees eating Ekadasi Prasad, and you think that I am, look at them, they are eating, I am not eating. And you think you are better than them, better you eat. Because although you may be fasting your body, you're just stuffing the belly of your false pride full. But if you can think that, oh, these devotees, they are so advanced that they can eat, but I am so sinful that I must fast, then you should fast. So in business, the tendency is, not only in business, even as a sannyasi or a sadhu, the tendency is to become proud of whatever we accomplish. So therefore, nasta praesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. There is only one solution to this problem. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and by regularly associating and serving sincere and gentle-hearted sadhus who are living the Bhagavatam,
and by chanting the holy names of the Lord. By this process, gradually, the deep-rooted seeds of pride are destroyed from within our heart. By hearing the Bhagavatam, by associating and serving the sadhus, by chanting the holy name of God, all inauspicious things in our heart are removed. It is only by the mercy, by the grace of the great souls, the pure devotees of the Lord, that these enemies are vanquished within our hearts. Hiranyakashipu was the most proud and arrogant person in all the universe. And what did Prahlad Maharaj tell him? What was the medicine for his pride? He said, to cover your whole body with the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and keep it covered like that. That is the only solution to this problem. And what does it mean to cover your body with the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas? It means to submissively hear from them and to be their servant. Pariprashnena sevaya. And if we follow these principles with a sincere heart, then gradually, whether we are in business or whether we are in a renounced order of life, all of these anarthas, unwanted elements within our heart, are removed. And if we chant the holy names in that spirit, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then all inauspicious things are removed. Cheto darpanam marajanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam sreyakairava chandrikavataranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivaradanam pratipatam punamritasvadanam sarvatmasna paramparam vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. Does this answer your question? Any questions? One more question, Balaramji? Devo. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.